Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor has a special word just for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Got a great word for you today. It's talking about being manifest minded. Look at this, manifest minded. And I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have scriptures with you there, John chapter 9. Out of this story of the blind man, he was born blind. And before we get into this story today, I want to just share this what happened in one of our crusades within probably a year or two ago. And it happens frequently. Matter of fact, it probably happens in every meeting. And then I want to kind of dive into this and talk about this. A man had came up in a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair for about 20 years. And I really felt that he had the faith to be healed. Acts 14, the Bible says about Paul and the crippled man at Lystra, he perceived he had the faith. Faith can be perceived. Faith can be felt. And Paul perceived he had the faith, and I perceived this man had the faith, or else I wouldn't have went, you know. And I said to him, I put my hands on the wheelchair, and I said, "Sir, I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to walk." He said to me, "Billy, don't embarrass me." I said, "Pardon me?" The place was packed out in this church in the city, and he said, "Don't embarrass me." I said, "Well, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to get you healed." And he said, "I didn't come to get healed. I come for prayer." And that threw me, that phrase, "I didn't come to get healed. I come for prayer." And I'm thinking, okay, we'll pray, and then you walk. And because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray, and then we're supposed to take it further and expect something to come out of that prayer. But if there's no expectancy, if expectancy has been stolen, if that seed of expectancy isn't there, then all someone's going to do is keep getting prayer and liking the feeling of what getting prayer feels like. And I said to him, no, "I'll pray, then you walk." And he said, "Billy, I'm not here for that. I just want to get prayer." I said, "Sir, you're in a wheelchair. How long have you been in this wheelchair?" 20 years. "Well, let's believe that you're going to walk tonight." And he said to me again, he said, "Please, just pray for me." And again, I say this to you. I found it interesting that today, so many people enjoy meetings and enjoy worship and enjoy the anointing, but they fail to realize all of that is just to build the expectancy for you to walk out of there with the prize. What are we aiming for tonight? To hear, to see, to have that emotional pain lifted. You know, to be able to cancel the sentence of death. To get free from an addiction. You know, to get past the past. To close the back door of the Red Sea. You know, to see the enemy floating on top of the water, not able to chase you anymore. There's got to be a greater expectancy than just to enjoy the meeting. God has such a purpose for you. God has such a period to your troubles and your trials. And sometimes we are a miracle in motion, but not forever. We're not just down here perpetually and never with any hope of it ever being healed or delivered, or restored. God's not a liar. The Bible says God's not a man that he should lie. The Bible says that let God be true and every man a liar. And this particular man here said, "Well, you know," and so as it turned out, I said to him, "Okay, how about if I just pray and then you stand?" And he said, "Okay, I'll try and stand." Well, he stood. He ended up walking. That was an amazing miracle. And the whole time he's walking, he's telling the whole place was going crazy, crying, laughing for this man that was walking across the front of a church. And the whole time he's saying, I don't believe this. He was just shocked himself, you know, that this was his moment, and it almost got by him because the seed of expectancy had not been in him until that day when it got planted in him. Let's read this story. John chapter 9. I keep calling it Mark. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered and he said, has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him? Read this again, number three, verse number three. Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest. God was saying here, it wasn't that anybody sinned. He was allowed to be born blind because on my celestial calendar in the heavenlies, I have a date in mind that I'm going to shock the world with this man's miracle. I'm going to shock his family. I'm going to shock the people around him. I'm going to shock the people in the town, in the church. Oh, I'm just going to use this man to make an awareness that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that the Jesus of Nazareth who rose out of the grave on the third day, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has a plan, and he has a plan for you to come into full recovery. Come on, say that with me, full recovery. Verse number four says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse number five, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Verse number six gets interesting. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground, made some spittle of clay. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore he washed, and he came seeing. Jesus touched this man, touched him, but there was no presence or manifestation of healing. Jesus spit, took his own DNA. Now, I don't know about you, but the spit of Jesus, that DNA, he put the DNA on the mud, in the eye. So you have the DNA, you have Jesus touching him, now you have the DNA of Jesus, you have the presence of Jesus, still no manifestation. Meaning in the presence, he's still blind. He touches him, he's still blind. The DNA of Jesus, the spit touches him, he's still blind. He hears Jesus talking to him, he's still blind. And then Jesus says these words, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And in studying this story, we find out that pool was approximately a mile and a half to 2 miles away from where they were. And there's nowhere in here where it indicates where Jesus said, somebody help him to the pool. So here's a blind man now with mud on his eyes. He has the DNA, so it's wet mud or moist mud. He's had Jesus talk to him. He's been in the very presence. He's still blind, and now he's being told, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, he can't even see. So how's he going to get there? There was no GPS, you know, there was nothing modern of anything of any kind, didn't even ask someone to help him get there. So we don't really know. I don't want to speculate that part of this, but I would think that he probably said to somebody, help me get to the pool. Point me in the right direction. He may have stumbled a few times or bumped into something a few times to get to the pool to where he was supposed to go wash in the pool. What did Jesus do? He planted the seed of expectation. He's saying it's not just getting prayer, it's expecting an answer, expecting something to happen. It's not just getting a prophecy, it's expecting it to come to pass. See, that seed of expectation often today is missing in so many. And we get in the habit of going to meeting after meeting after meeting. And I think that's wonderful that you do. Same with we read the Bible, verse after verse after verse. But sometimes you got to pull back and say, okay, I've read that, I've confessed that, but now I'm going to expect that. And when it doesn't come today and midnight comes, you have to recalibrate. You have to push the reset button and say, well, it's coming tomorrow. Staying in that level of faith, continuing to expect that God is about to do, God's about to perform, God's about to answer. God promised. He promised a result. He promised a remedy. God is not going to hurt you and I deeper, you know, by fabricating, by exaggerating, by embellishing, by putting false hope in us. It's not what God's all about. That's certainly not what the Holy Spirit's about. He said in here, I love this verse. I've helped so many people with this verse. I helped myself with this verse. That the works of righteousness might be made manifest. A lot of times there's something that's in your life right now. A family curse, a bondage, a sickness, you know, addicted to medication, going through some legal battle, something in your family with your children, something you can't put rhyme or reason to. I mean, you can begin to dig into your life and try and uncover everything that's negative. Some people think that is the thing to do. I don't think that's the right thing to do myself. I think it's like, hey, this is reality. I'm dealing with this, but there's a greater reality than the one that I'm in. There's a greater reality. And that reality is He knows about this. And you begin to say, you know what? I believe that this is on God's calendar. The way it was on this man was on God's calendar. That God knows how to orchestrate a miracle. I mean, if a movie producer can bring you to the edge of your seat at the right time so that movie is a hit. If a great author can bring you to a climax after you read that 10th chapter and make you realize, wow, what a book, wow, what a movie, then can't God orchestrate your miracle? Can't He orchestrate a breakthrough that is take your breath away? Look what He did. Look what He was doing all the time. Even when I wasn't fully believing, He was still working. Even when I wasn't faithful in my part of the deal, He was still moving me forward. He was lining up person after person, program after program, meeting after meeting, story after story. And He was saying, I am committed. Oh, that's what God is today. That's what this story tells me. He's committed to getting and planting the seed of expectation in you. You know, when I was 9 years old, I had terminal brain cancer. And at that time, I didn't know Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, knew her after that, but didn't know her before that, nor did my family. And we were 45 minutes from the city of Pittsburgh, where she was holding these services every other Friday. My grandmother was an avid listener of hers on the daily broadcast. I believe it was 3 in the afternoon. And I was given up to die. The cancer had metastasized through my neck, into my back, into my lungs. My head was swollen. I was a pretty ugly, desperate 9-year-old. My grandmother got a hold of me and she told me this on a Monday. She said, we're taking you down to a healing service in Pittsburgh. Actually, I was still in the hospital. They had to sign papers against doctor's wishes. The doctor said, you'll be liable. So we had to get legal people involved to sign papers to have me released. So there was no liability on the hospital. So against their wishes and against all of that, I was discharged, taken home on a Monday, and my grandmother worked on me for 4 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and every day was the same thing. It wasn't anything new. Every day was the same thing. When she touches you. When she touches you. And of course, she would say, you'll be healed, you'll be healed. I didn't know who she was. I never heard of what my grandmother was saying. I had never been in a healing meeting, but every day I knew it was coming because I had to drink through a straw. I had to wear a patch over one eye because my vision was double. The pain was so excruciating that morphine wouldn't even help the pain. Long story short, I'm standing in front of Ms. Kuhlman and, you know, I'm just like, this is like, and I could feel the presence coming off of her, which I'd never felt that before in my life. But it's when her hand began to reach for my head. And this is as true as I can tell it. This is as true. I tell you, people, this is as true as I can tell it, as I can remember it, like yesterday. Her hand was coming towards me, but I could hear my grandmother's voice. When she touches you. Of course, Catherine touched me. I fell. Four rows of people fell with me. But later on, as I grew older, I realized that I couldn't prepare myself for that miracle. I didn't know how, but my grandmother planted the seed of expectation. Wow. Oh, they prayed, but she planted the seed of expectation. She was positive, but they planted a seed of expectation. See, that seed is the difference maker, the game changer between life and death. And sometimes I'm in these meetings, you know, all over the world, so to speak, for 43 years now. And I run into so many people, and especially a lot of them are church people, that they love church, they love God, they know the promises, but they expect so little. They're so used to just going to church. They're so used to just feeling better, but not getting better. They're so used to hope so, but not know so. They're so used to believing, but not at the highest level. It costs you everything to risk to believe for everything and to talk it and to be out loud and on purpose about it. It may not make sense to anybody around you that you would say, well, he went to the cross for me. He was whipped at the whipping post for me. He had those stripes put on his back, and one of those stripes is all that I need, is one of them for me. So whether it's by his stripes, plural, or by a stripe, plural, it don't take much of that blood, that precious blood. Not type A, not type B, not type O, but precious, precious, precious blood. Oh, that. So when you're talking stripe, you're not just talking a stripe, you're talking blood coming out of a body that was broken. That's what the bread of the communion is talking about. That's where his body was broken. It's across that back, that cat of nine tails. And I'm telling you that as I stood there and I heard that hand touch me, as grateful as I am to Miss Kuhlman for her role in Billy Burke's miracle, it was my grandmother, who you don't know her, nor do you know her name, but she planted that seed. Oh, we need more of that. We need more of the, hey, you can expect his promise to be fulfilled. You can expect that prophecy. What good is a prophecy if you don't believe it? Why have one more drop of oil put on you? Why be slain to the floor one more time if you've just gotten religious with these spiritual practices? Have we become addicted to the anointing without believing for the prize? Do we worship? What is going on here? Why aren't we seeing more of the manifestation? Because we're not manifest-minded. We're prayer-minded. And we're worship-minded. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. I love to worship. But I want to know where worship's taking me. I don't want to worship a song. I want to worship a person. I want to just say, hey, I'm in the presence of the most amazing God that there is, the only wise God, the only immortal, invisible wise God. That's who I'm with. And I have to remind myself that that's where I am. I don't have a secret place. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You know, I may have a favorite place, but the secret place is in the secret place of the Most High. He's got a place that if we can just get behind that curtain, miracles happen. Encouragement takes place. And you become manifest-minded, because you know what you say? I'm not settling for just prayer, for just falling to the floor. or for a prophecy, they all give me hope. And I am after that back healing. I am after that job. I am after that college entrance. I'm after that down payment for the house. I had a prayer about it, had a prophecy about it. I want to see it. I don't faith it to keep faithing it. I'm sorry. I faith it to see it. That's right. I faith it to hold it. Some people I talk to, they just faith it to faith it to faith it to faith it. No. You faith it to see it. If I don't see it, I faith it, but I faith it to see it. And whenever you become manifest minded, what you're saying is, I want everything that he suffered for. From his back to my body. From his back to my mind. And I begin to use my mind's eye, my imagination. That's what Ephesians 3:20 is all about. Beyond what you can even ask or think or imagine. It's one of the greatest weapons we have in this end times is our own imagination. Why do you think pornography is such a big deal today? It's because it takes the place of imagining God things, God dreams, and God goals, and God results. He's trying to come in and get you thinking everything but what God has for you. It takes time. It takes mental assertion, I should say, excuse me. But listen to me, back to this. This man had all of these. He had the presence. He had the clay. He had the DNA. He had the touch. He had the presence of Jesus, yet no manifestation. And the only way God could get him was to begin to give him expectation by what? By creating it. Every time you plant a seed, you should expect a harvest. Why plant a seed if you're not expecting? And God often gives you a picture in your mind. He said bigger barns and bursting wine presses. That's a picture. Why would God give Billy Burke a picture if he was just going to tease me with a bigger barn and bursting wine presses? Because he wants Billy Burke to believe when that seed is planted, it's coming back bigger than ever before. God wants you to become manifest minded. It's right here, manifest minded. You got to say today, I got to get to the pool. I got to get, thanks for the prayer. Thanks for the oil. Thanks for the slaying under the power. But I've got to get to the pool. I've got to get rid of these headaches. I've got to see out of these blind eyes. I prayed for a young boy that had no appendages. He had no appendages, no physical ears. And when those ears came open and all the apparatuses came off, he was like, I can hear. God does miracles. He's a miracle working God. And he has one for you today. Come on, begin to imagine walking. Begin to imagine being able to pick up your grandchildren. Begin to imagine a day without pain. Begin to imagine all your bills paid off. Begin to imagine getting out of a place of small confines where you're living, or that incarceration, getting your walking papers. Come on, maybe you've given up. Maybe you've quit trying to press into the pool. Maybe. You still love the anointing. You still love God. You still love getting prayer. But you've given up expecting that something amazing is going to happen to you. That's going to be my prayer for you today, that God put that seed of expectancy back on the inside of you. That this could be immediate. It could be my midnight tonight. It could be sometime tomorrow. That each and every day, you're going to take that finger and push the reset button and say, this could be the day that the works of righteousness that we read about in John 9, that the work of righteousness would be made manifest in my life. Help me hear it. Help me smell it. Help me see it, I pray. And Father, I pray that for each person today, that the healing presence would come over each, that there'd be such an expectancy of the end of the suffering, of the disappointment, that the soul tie, that unhealthy soul tie would break. Oh God, that you would put your finger in the dike and stop the hemorrhaging for the people today. Let there be an aroma. Let there be a wind of heaven come. Let miracles happen, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Mark 10:27. It says, with God, all things are possible.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.